First, let me thank David for this invitation to come and speak to him and also to you on this very good occasion. It's been a delight for Irma and me to get to know David and Diane over a period of years, and we trust that God will give them much grace and strength as they serve him in the context of his church in this place. And we commend the grace of God to you, dear friends. My text for this period is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In the Church of Jesus Christ today, there are many reasons why people come to church and why they are interested in the things of the church. Some come because they have good fellowship in a place like this, and that's important. Others come because they enjoy the music, and that's good. We would commend that to all who come. Others would come because they find interesting things in the Bible that they would like to learn, and that's fine too. But these things are not ends in themselves, nor is the Bible itself, as we study the Bible, an end in itself. The Bible is a book that leads us to Christ. The Bible is a book that leads us to a proper understanding of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul the Apostle is telling us that this is the case in our text this afternoon. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And so I commend to Pastor Demarest as he enters into his ministry, and I commend to you, people of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the reason you come to church and the reason you sit under the ministry of ones like Pastor Demarest is to learn about the love of God and to be conformed to the love of God. And you must be conformed to the love of God as it is set forth in the Scriptures. The goal of our instruction is this love, which stems then from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Let's look at this text then just a little bit. The goal is the end toward which we are reaching. In the original language, it's the telos, the end, or the purpose, the final goal toward which we are reaching as a people of God. It is not the study, as I said already, the study of the Bible as an end in itself. There is a goal toward which God is pointing each one of you. He's pointing me in that direction, and certainly he's pointing the Demarest in this direction. That goal is love, a conformity to God who is love, and a conformity to the image of God which is love. And so that's the goal. And what about this love then? What are we to say about this love? Well, first of all, the Bible defines this love. And this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. This is what John says in his first epistle in chapter 5 and in verse 3. And so this love of God is tied to God's commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments. We all love the Ten Commandments, do we not? Well, maybe not the way we ought to. And this law sometimes we look down upon. But interestingly enough, this love is defined by this law. It is defined by truthfulness and fidelity and things like this. Because God Himself and Jesus Christ is the God of truth. And He is the one who is faithful to His Word and faithful to His promises. And we too ought to be true and faithful individuals. Well, that's only a little snippet into those commandments. But it gives us a window into the character of God and who Jesus Christ was as He walked in this world. Jesus Himself said, "If you love Me, you keep My commandments." And those are the commandments we've just been speaking about, these Ten Commandments. And so if you truly love Jesus Christ, those commandments mark your life in your family and in your business and in the church. And this will certainly be the case for the Demarests as they minister in your midst. It's a great tragedy when ministers of the gospel especially besmirch the calling with which they have been called by sins which are especially public, such as adultery and these kinds of things. And we don't have to speak largely about this. But then the love of God is also defined, or I should say described. It's defined in 1 John. But it's also described. It's described for us in 1 Corinthians 13, that great love chapter. You remember it? Love is patient. Love is kind, etc., etc. You go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read that wonderful chapter. It is a description of love. And when you tell the truth, therefore, as the Apostle Paul tells us, you must be kind in telling the truth. I think this is especially important in counseling, is it not, Pastor? It is especially important in counseling to be kind in telling the truth. And it's especially important in ministry, in the church, when you proclaim the truth on a regular basis from the pulpit, or those of you who have opportunity to teach young children and to speak to them about the truth of God from the Bible, you must be patient. Love is patient, you see. So these are descriptions. It's not only what you do that is important, but it is how you prosecute that ministry, how you carry out that ministry. So the description is important as well as the definition. But I want to add one more thing here. And this comes from an old theologian by the name of W.G.T. Shedd. And in his Dogmatic Theology, which is three big volumes, there's a little sentence that is quite arresting. Love is inclination. And what Shedd means by that little sentence, love is inclination, is this: that when God gives you, by the power of His Spirit, a proper inclination of heart and a good disposition in your heart, you will embrace the commandments of God, and you will do so as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a very amazing combination that when God gives you that inclination of heart, you love those commandments and you follow them as Paul outlines in 1 Corinthians 13. And this leads right into, this is a good segue into what Paul continues to say in our text. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. Right? A pure heart is necessary. A heart which has been changed and altered by the Holy Spirit of God, so that you have a disposition to do the things that God loves, and you have a disposition to do the things which express a love for your neighbor, which are the two tables of the law. And you do them kindly and patiently, etc., as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. So it's love from a pure heart. And of course, It's God that has to give us that pure heart, isn't it? It's God who has to come along, as we just heard in the confession of sin and God's response to that confession. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God is in that tremendous process of doing that very thing and purifying our hearts. Praise be unto God that this is His work, the work which He does so well. And then the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. You know what conscience is? The word conscience, when you think about it, is the word science with a little prefix in front of it. Con. I'm thinking in the good sense here. It means with. Have you ever had chili con carne? Chili with meat? That's the idea here. That's what Paul is talking about. And the word science actually means knowledge. So conscience is that spiritual instrument inside of us that is knowledge alongside of all of the things that we do. And you know how it works. I really don't have to explain it to you, do I? That when you do something good, what happens? You feel good inside. Conscience says yes. And when you do something which is naughty, in violation of one of the commandments of God, what happens? You feel a twinge of conscience, we say. You feel bad. And that's that knowledge that goes along with all of the things that we do. That's what conscience is. And Paul talks about a good conscience. And what the word good means is to be godlike. You remember the teacher that came to Jesus and he said, "Good teacher," etc., etc. And Jesus asked him a question. "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone." You see, if this teacher of Israel had recognized Jesus as God incarnate, he would have been appropriately calling Jesus good. But Jesus reminded him of the fact that there is no one who is actually good but God alone. And so ultimately, the standard of goodness is up here. It is to be like God. And what Paul is saying then is that we ought to have a God-like conscience. A conscience, right? Here's what's interesting about it, at least I think. I hope you will too. Right? Here's what's interesting about it, is that you are to say yes when God says yes. Your conscience is to say yes when God says yes. And your conscience is to say no when God says no. And you are to have a good conscience. And love comes out of a pure heart and a good conscience. A good conscience keeps you away from doing the things that are opposed to the law of God. And then finally, our text tells us that there is sincere faith involved in all of this. Love comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And faith is trust. Ultimately, this is what faith is. Faith is trust. You can know a lot of good things about Jesus and study a lot of good things about Jesus in the Bible. That's good. And I would be glad for that. And you can assent to the truth of the things that you study in the Bible, that they're good. And you can say, yes, they're good. The demons believe. That's what James says. They have that level of faith. But real faith in the end is trust. When you cast yourself upon Jesus Christ as the one who died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to you for your sins. You trust Him. And this is a sincere trust. It's not something which is hypocritical. That's what Paul is actually saying. It's unhypocritical faith. And maybe you know what a hypocrite actually is. A hypocrite is an actor. In the old days, among the Greeks, that's what a hypocrite was, an actor on the stage of life. And Paul is saying, this is not a time to act. This is not a time to play games. This is a time to be sincere about your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior. And love that is worthy of the name stems from a faith that is sincere. And so what do we have? The goal of our instruction is love. We are to be conformed to the loving image of God and of Jesus Christ. And that involves our consciences, our hearts, and our faith. And each one of us must approach God, and He must give us a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And when He does so, friends, this is the wonder of it. When He does so, we may love God from the heart, with all of our heart, and we may love our neighbor as ourselves, you see, and we may fulfill the greatest commandment, as Jesus put it. And the instruction that we gain in the church of Jesus Christ is to lead us, is to lead you in the direction of this love. So that when you, week by week, sit under the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Demarest, and when you, as Sunday school teachers, work with little children, the goal is that God's love would be formed in them, the goal of your instruction, not just packing information into their heads, but God is interested in changing them into His image and making them lovers of Him and lovers of others. And so, Pastor Demarest, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to make it your aim and your goal, as you, week by week, have the privilege of opening the Scriptures and teaching men and women and young people the Word of God, make it your goal that God's love, stemming from pure hearts and good consciences and a sincere faith, may be formed in your people. And dear people of God, when you come and listen to the sermon and listen to the teaching of the Word of God, make it your goal that God, in that context, would form His love in your hearts and change you and transform you, giving you pure hearts and good consciences and a sincere faith, so that you may love your God from all of your heart, and you may love one another as yourself. May God be pleased to make it so in His good name. Amen.